Hi guys, and welcome to episode 3. I'm your host Kia, and before we jump into today's episode, I have quite a few updates to share with you guys. To start, my website is now live. You can check it out at norinsoul.com. There, you'll have access to all the podcast episodes. You can learn about me and the work that I'm doing, but you can also learn about the work of my guests and how you can support them. My pieces are currently sold on Etsy, but the shop will be opening on the website soon, so be sure to look out for that. Which, speaking of, I have a sale going on for the entire month of February in support of Black History Month, because duh. All of the in-stock items are 25% off for this month, and I just released some new home decor pieces, and I've been talking about shifting into home decor for quite a while, and it's finally happening, so make sure to check that out and see what's available. My shop is currently on Etsy.com/shop/Norinsoul. And real quick, I want to talk support. There are a few ways that you can support this podcast. You can share it with your good friends on social media, you can subscribe on your favorite listening platform, or you can leave me a rating. Or do all three, of course. If you are feeling generous, however, which I hope you are, you can support monetarily. There is an option to make a monthly contribution as low as 99 cents per month, and it ranges up to about $9.99 a month. To be clear, the contribution will go to the production and distribution of the brand, which will range from purchasing new materials, paid studio time, participating in pop-up shops and such, all the things that I need to keep this thing going. So that's it for the updates. I want to tell you about today's guest. So on today's episode, I sat down with Kiara and discussed the circumstances of inner city life and how to avoid becoming a product of it. My guest shares her experience with losing her brother to violence and how it motivated her to give back to the very streets that disrupted her family's life. And Kiara drops gems, y'all. So let's get into this episode.
Hey, Kiara.
Hey.
So glad to have you with me this week.
Thanks for having me.
No
I'm
problem.
Excited.
Yes, me too. So I want to dive right in. Tell the people who you are and who you want your story to reach.
So I am a young Black girl from Wilmington, Delaware. I'm still trying to figure it out, this journey that I'm on. I just want this audience to... I want this to represent, you know, the young people my age, the young Black girls out here, and giving them a reason to, you know that you can do it, you can make it, you know, no matter what's going on or what you may think is holding you back, like, you got it. So,
absolutely. And you know I'm here for it. You know I'm all the way here for it. So, we talked a little bit off air about what you're going to be sharing today, but tell me where your story begins.
Ooh, so my story begins, honestly, 2016. My brother's death, that was like the turnaround for my life. Mm-hmm. You know, before that, it was growing up in the city of Wilmington, Delaware, you know, having like the silver spoon, you know, so like my future, I wanted my future to be brighter. So I went to school, pushed myself through college, but 2016, my brother had got shot and passed away. So, you know, I went through a tragic loss. I went through a tragic time. But at the same time, that was my motivation to keep going to bring me to where I am now. Right. I came out with an organization since then. You'll hear later that I'm writing a book about everything.
Yes.
So
yes,
that's
where
yeah, so that shaped me into the person that I am today, right now, in this moment. So
all right. So I'm going to dive into, you know, that day and that specific experience with losing your brother. Mm-hmm. How did you get the news? What happened in terms of, like, on your end of things? How did you respond to it? Like, what was going on that day?
Yeah, so that day I was actually at work. Mm-hmm. I got a phone call from my mother, and she was just like, you know, where you at? So I'm like, I'm at work. So my aunt happens to work at the same job that I'm at. Mm-hmm. So I work with kids, so I'm in the cafeteria. So I get this phone call, and I'm like, why is she calling me? That's weird, asking me where I'm at. She knows I'm at work.
Right.
So then the people from the office call me down. They're like, oh, Miss Fletcher, we need you to, you know, to come down. So I'm like, okay. So I come out the cafeteria, and I'm walking to the office, and then I see my grandmother, and she was like, oh, your brother just got shot. You got to leave now. So I'm like, what? I'm literally running up the hall. Like, right. I couldn't believe it. So I get outside of the school that I work at, and my mother is pulling up. So she's like, we're going to take you to the scene right now. It's right on, you know, this street. So we go up there, and he's literally laying out on the ground. So I see my brother with the headshot laying on the ground. His mother lives in Ohio, but he's my brother on our dad's side. So my dad, he drives trucks. He's not, you know, in town. He's all the way in New York. We're in Delaware. So I'm next to Ken. So they got the tape and everything, like, all around. Mm-hmm. And it was just so much, like, different cameras, the news journal, all of that. By the way, they put me in the news journal looking crazy, like, which I felt, you know.
Felt some type of way about. Yeah.
But you know how that goes. So they're like, oh, can you identify the body? So they were going to let me at first, but then they're like, no, you need to get your dad on the phone. So I'm like, okay, so I'll call my dad. And he's like, I'm in New York. Like, yes, she can identify him. Mm-hmm. So long story short, they didn't let me identify him. They was like, oh, well, we're going to take him to the morgue. Like, his mother or his father has to be present. So he's driving from New York. It's taking him about 3 to 4 hours to get here. And his mom is in Ohio, so she wasn't going to be here in time.
Right.
So I had to wait for my dad to get here to go to the morgue to identify the body. But it was just so crazy. Like, it was so many emotions. Like, I couldn't believe it. It was just like, I was just lost for words to actually see my brother laying out on the ground. And then y'all didn't have him covered up. Like, you know, so.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, like, I'm seeing a headshot. That just was like, I couldn't believe my eyes. Like, I don't.
Absolutely.
It was just crazy.
So, I mean, processing all of that sounds like a lot, and I can't even begin to imagine. Mm-hmm. Between seeing what you saw, which in itself, like, I literally can't imagine. What kind of support did you need at that moment versus the support that you were actually getting? Did they align for you?
So, you know, it was kind of hard because, like, I had my mother, my grandmother, and, like, my aunt. In that moment, like, I have another brother. Like I said, the one that passed away is my dad's son. Mm-hmm. I have a brother that's on my mom's side as well. So, like, seeing him, like, when he arrived on the scene, that made me feel, like, so much more comforted, because it's like, he's a young black boy out here too. So, like, to see him comfort me and me for, you know, for me to, like, feel that from him was, like, everything. Because I'm just like, yo, I can't lose nobody else. I need you the most right now. Like,
absolutely.
So it was just like, you know, my mother was there, but my other brother, like, that was everything for me. Like, I needed that. Yes, it was just very tragic. And I can't imagine how, like, his mom felt, because she wasn't there, you know? Like, none of his parents were there to identify him. So it's just like, I can't imagine how they felt.
Right.
But it was crazy.
And for those who aren't too familiar with Wilmington, a lot of things go on. I don't live in Wilmington. I haven't lived in Delaware for too long myself, but just the knowledge of what the type of things that goes on in the type of city that Wilmington is, it's a lot. There are a lot of the statistics happening right there in the city. There's a lot of young people dying that I hear about very often. So, and you've been there your whole life, so mm-hmm. you kind of have a better timeline of what that looks like.
Yeah, I
mean, I come from a inner city as well, so mm-hmm. there's some levels of it that I can, you know, I can understand. I want to talk about triggers.
Ooh.
Because, you know, I can imagine from actually seeing your brother partnered with acknowledging the amount of crime in the city, the amount of young people dying, the low life expectancy. Mm-hmm. How do you process this emotionally?
To be honest with you, I don't have the right answer for how you process it, because, mm-hmm. like, you know, like you said, the statistics here and, you know, everything that goes on in, you know, this city, I feel like a lot of people deal with things differently. Yeah. However, you know, people look at me like, oh, Kiara, you're so strong. You got this, you got that going on. Like, how do you, you know, go through such a thing? And then, you know, you're still going through stuff and still trying to make it, still trying to figure it out. And, like, you know, how do you deal with that? And I'm just like, at the end of the day, you got to keep going. Like, you know, you can't. Stuff is going to happen, like, life goes on, but you can't let things, like, take you under. Like, if you know, if you start to really to sit in that depression and really, like, be closed in, then it's going to take you under. So you have to kind of, like, think about, you know, what you're doing it for, where you want to be, and see yourself there and really be like, you know what, I deserve better. I don't have to stay in this. Like, you know, you can. You know, I believe that God's put, you know, certain people through stuff for a reason. So, like, I feel like, you know, with everything that I've been through, like, it's to help another person, you know, like, so I have to go through that. I have to experience that I have to, like, you know, just go through all of that just to come out on top and say, okay, you can do it too. Let me help my friend. Let me help my sister, you know? So, right. Like, it's just me really thinking about, like, it's better out here for me, or everything that I go through is for a reason, but absolutely. I'm not going to let it take me under. So I'm going to get over it eventually. Like I said, it's no way to really be like, oh, it's okay, you're going to be done. But at the same time, you have to look at that light and be like, I'm going to make it out.
Absolutely. So I'm going to identify you as an advocate because because, you know, in your work, and we're gonna get into that in just a second, the type of work that you do and how you shifted what you've seen in your life and what you've experienced into helping the next person. So we're mm-hmm. gonna get into that in a second. But you mentioned the fact that people look at you and say that you're strong, yeah. right? And I know carrying that title sometimes can be heavy on top of trying to take on all of the things that you're trying to do at once. Mm-hmm. How do you take care of yourself in the midst of being that strong person that's still taking all of this on?
So personally, I'm gonna be honest, like, you know how people say grab that, like, that one friend that you can talk to, that one person that you can, like, just, you know, unwind with? Honestly, I'm a child of God, so, like, that's my person. Like, you know, people think, like I said, people see me like, oh, everything's okay, but behind closed doors, I'm not perfect. Like, I'm crying, I'm praying, like, you know, like, I'm doing all of that to kind of just take a whole detox from myself and really be like, you know what, I gotta shut off the world, I gotta get my mental back. Like, that is it, that's me, you know, crying. I cry myself to sleep, and I'm not afraid to say that, you know. I pray myself to,
I'm here, know, like, with, I'm so here with you.
I do so that because I'm human, you know. Right. So I just want people to know that, like, I'm not perfect, that's one. And, like, for two, like, I go through stuff, I struggle just like everybody else. I just, you know, I just have to keep going, like I said. And, you know, I deal with it by, like, praying to God and keeping myself, you know, I do positive affirmations and, you know, things like that to really keep my mental going. So
absolutely. Listen, I am an advocate for a good cry. Yes, if you need to have one, because
listen, I will cry, I will pray, all of that, like, right. I have to get it out. And, you know, some people say I need somebody to talk to. Like, me, I need to be by myself. Like, I need to really just have that moment where I'm getting it all out. I'm crying to God. Like, I have to be by myself so I can get it out. And then when I'm okay, I'll regroup.
Right.
And, like, you know, most of my friends, they understand that. So.
Yeah. That's good, too, to have that support. Because sometimes that's another thing. You got people looking at you like, you're the strong friend, or whatever the case may be. So they don't understand when you have moments that are not, like, that are not showing the strength that they're expecting from
you.
So I hear you. Okay. So we talked a little bit about what you've seen in the city that you've come from and, mm-hmm. and everything like that. So what was the next step for you? And just going into, like, the work that you do and where you are now, what was the next step for you into shifting the narrative in your city and changing these statistics?
So, you know, after my brother's death, I was in college, right? Mm-hmm. When that happened, a lot of people don't know I dropped out.
Oh, wow.
So I did drop out of school after my brother's death. It was my last year. I was like, I can't finish it. I felt like I failed him because I was supposed to hurry up and be done so we can make it out the hood, like they say.
Yeah.
So, you know, I blamed myself, and I didn't really, after that, I just was like, I'm done. Like, I don't want to go back, you know? So after that, it kind of just was like, I took some time off of school. I was trying to figure myself out, what I wanted to do. And I started wilding out. Like, listen, I started wilding out. I started drinking, smoking, being in different relationships, you know, just doing a whole bunch of other stuff that wasn't me. Mm-hmm. All because I lost my brother. So I felt like I failed him. I failed myself. I didn't have nothing to live for. I didn't care, you know? So now I'm in this place. I kind of, you know, I took that year off and I was like, you know what, this ain't right. Like, this happened for a reason. And I prayed, I'm like, God, what is my purpose, you know? Mm-hmm. So when I figured that out, I'm just like, you know what, this is for a reason. Like, my brother's death, I'm strong, I can do this. Let me help my city. Let me figure out something, like a game changer, that could really just be like, you know what, the violent stuff, it doesn't have to happen. You know, like, it could be, you know, other things could be going on to take up these young people's minds. Me working at a school now and working with kids, I kind of advocate for that, you know, in a way. And also, you know, having different things in my community. I came up with Project Heal. Me and my best friend Samantha, we came up with Project Heal. Project Heal is an acronym. It stands for Helping Enrich Advocacy in Life. So we do like a lot of educational programs, fundraising events, different stuff out here in the community, you know, just to help the community. Actually, next February, we're doing a whole series of events for Black History Month. So
be on the lookout.
Yeah, so look out for that. Yeah, I just like something needs to happen here. And, you know, like I find that a lot of people try to, they want to be successful. They want to leave Delaware. You know, like they like, I got this talent. Let me go here. Let me go to Atlanta. Let me go to LA, somewhere big. What are we going to do here? Like,
that is so true.
It's, you know,
that
people don't think about that. I'm like, my work, I'm not saying that I want to be in Delaware for the rest of my life, but my work is not done here in my own city.
Right.
So it's like, I got to help my people first. Like, and, you know, especially where, you know, the incident happened with my brother. I'm like, yo, I got to do something about this. Like, I survived that. So it's just like, I got to help.
Oh my God. And that's so important too, because that's very true. That didn't even come to my mind. The fact that I'm one of those people that left my city, different circumstances per se, but I'm one of those people that left my city. And I oftentimes, like, even when certain things that I was diving into, certain types of work, I was just like, all right, I need to be in New York still. Like, I still go home a lot and do different things like that, because I feel the same way. Like, mm-hmm. you got to get back to where you came from and then let it, you know, kind of branch out along the throughout the world and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the impact that you've seen your organization make. What type of responses do you get just like working from the kids, or what do you feel like the direct impact has been since you started your organization, since you started working in a school and you're an educator in that sense? What do you feel like you're giving to your community?
So a lot. Okay. So my organization, we deal with like, you know, younger teen type of, I work with like little kids. So, you know, the thing with that is just like the stuff that's going on out here. For the, I'll talk on both aspects. The things that's going on out here, the younger children, you know, like it's their upbringing, what they see at home, what they're exposed to. So I feel like with them, people are so quick to be like, oh, they need medicine. They try to throw that medicine word in our young people, you know. So like it's that's a lot. That's a whole nother situation.
Yeah.
Sometimes they need like the love, they need the care, they need the understanding. They can't express it like we can express it, so you know it's different for them. But then they want to call them crazy, or they got ADHD, or they need medicine.
Oh, they want to
label our young Black kids. So then they're growing up on these different type of medications, and they wonder why they are crazy. That's just for the younger people. Like my organization, we deal with, you know, like teens. So for them, I think the impact like of what we're doing is being out in the city and, you know, having those different community service things where we're getting the kids out in the streets and actually picking up trash or going to serve the homeless, you know, things like that, to let them do other things instead of just being on a corner or on a block.
Right.
So I feel like, you know, the more that, you know, and I'm still young. So it's like if a young girl, I'm only 24. So like if a young girl can be like, oh, you know, Kiara's out here serving the homeless instead of out here partying, drinking and smoking and all of that. Or even if you know, me being young, I'm not perfect. I'm still, you know, might do those things with my friends here and there, but I still have, you know, the other side to me where I could be like, you know what, I'm going to go help out the homeless. So right. I feel like, you know, with them, it's more of actually getting out and being hands-on and doing something positive, and then they're showing other people behind them like, you can have this positive light and you can still live your life, you know.
Absolutely.
You can go to church and you can still, you know, be okay with something. So it's just like with that, I feel like, you know, the positive light and that impact on, you know, the young people is okay.
Right.
Okay. So I try to show that.
And ultimately, to really make a change, right, to really shift mm-hmm. the narratives in these communities and things like that, you need a community that's on board. So, you know, you're talking about how you're pretty much molding these young girls into getting out and doing different things and showing them that partying, drinking, smoking is not the only thing that you could do. You can, mm-hmm. There's a balance. There's the other things. How can we... And by we, I mean everybody except for you, right? How can we get on board and support your organization? How can we get on board and support our own communities, even people that are not specifically in Delaware where you are? How can other people change the narratives going on in their own communities?
So it's just as simple as, like, you know, when an organization, not only mine, but when any organization posts, you know, just something or you hear might hear something on the radio or any type of event that's happened. Maybe a Boys and Girls Club is like posting something, or you see an ad, or you see everybody's on social media. So you see, you know, things and flyers and stuff being posted. It's just as simple as like showing up to that event and like, and being a part of it, you know, like that right. makes a difference. Like the more people that we can get out and actually be a part of it, then it'll grow and it'll expand. However, if we're putting it out there and nobody wants to be a part of it, then we can't grow. I feel like together we all can win. You know, like I feel like, you know, if you want to go further, go together. But if you, you know, like you're, it's going to take you a long time if you're doing it by yourself or you are just so in a place where you like, you don't want it, nobody else to be a part. But if you want everybody else to be a part, then we can grow together. We can do it together. It'll make it 10 times easier.
Absolutely.
And it'll make it lighter as well. Like, you won't feel like you have to do everything on your own or by yourself.
Absolutely. I often talk about that too. I think there's this sense, and just for like people around our age, that there's like this competition mindset rather than community and collaborating and things like that. And the community and collaboration aspects is going to be the things that are actually making the change.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like exactly like what you're saying, to bring people together to actually support each other. Y'all, when y'all see somebody saying, this is my thing,
yeah,
you could get on board with it and you feel what they're doing, support them. Whether you're sharing it, whether you're
exactly.
like, if you can't, that's another thing. If you can't actually be present,
yes.
let's say,
like
for this.
Share it, because you don't mm-hmm. know like the people that you may be following on your social media or I'm following on my social media. If you just reposted, then that's reaching plenty of other different people.
It's a whole
even if
other
you
audience.
Can't make it, you know, like it's just putting it out there, and that's supporting itself because mm-hmm. it's expanding, it's exposure for you and me.
Right.
So
right. So, Kiara, I want to ask you, we opened up talking about your brother mm-hmm. and what you know, how you witnessed his death mm-hmm. and, you know, all the things that came with that. And obviously that accompanied with other things that you've seen in your community shift you into the person that you are now and doing the work that you're doing now. What do you want your brother to know about why you're doing this and... You know, what, how much seeing what happened to him impacted you? What would you, if you can tell your brother anything about where you are now, what would you want him to know?
I would want him to know that obviously I have, you know, Project Kill. I'm not going to say from him or like, I don't know if the word is stimulating from him. Mm-hmm. Like, but that's the reason. Like, that's my reason why I have this passion of like helping the city or helping the youth because of that, like because of that, like I said, I don't look at my brother's death as like when I was going through it. Yes, it was sad, it was tragic, I went through it. That's normal. That's with everybody losing somebody.
Yeah.
But now I look at it as my motivation. So I would tell him that, like, you know, God let this happen for a reason. And it's plenty of times where I go to my brother's grave and I talk and I'm like, all right, what do I do next? Like, yeah. God, you allowed this to happen. So I feel like both of y'all up in heaven talking to me like, this is the reason why you're doing this.
Yeah.
And you know, I gotta let y'all in on a little secret. I'm coming out with a book.
Come on, book. Let's plug it in.
I'm coming out with a book this year, 2020. So be expecting that soon. It's gonna tell my whole story. But I would just tell my brother, like, thank you. Like, even though, you know, I felt like I failed you and I'm sorry, but you're giving me another reason and a route, and you're giving me a reason to keep going. Like, you gave me my passion, and I know my purpose.
Absolutely. Well, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful conclusion. All right. So, Kiara, tell the people where they can find you. Plug in all your socials. How can we support Project Hill? Where can we find you?
So I'm on Instagram at AYEKP. That's my personal Instagram. My organization Instagram is at Project Hill DE, and the email is projecthillde@gmail. And Project Hill is HEALDE.
Okay. And don't forget that she said this February, there's some
yes,
events coming
February.
Up. So definitely pay attention, because I know I'm going to be at them. So bring yourselves out and come be a part.
Yes, we're going to have a Love Jones open mic night.
Ooh.
We're going to have a panel discussion. We're going to have a scavenger hunt. It's going to be lit. It's going to be dope. So definitely come out. It's for all ages. So be on the lookout for that.
Yes. Well, thank you for joining me in
no,
the studio
thank
today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yes.
Talk.
To learn more about Norin Soul, head over to my website at norinsoul.com. There, you'll have access to all the podcast episodes, and you can learn how you can support me and all my guests, amongst other things. If you would like to share your story and be your future guest, hit the contact page on the site, or you can email me directly at norinsoul@gmail.com. Follow me on Instagram at norinsoul. And if you like cute things and want to wear my art, head to my shop at etsy.com/shop/norinsoul. I will talk to you guys on the next episode. Bye.